It's 9 o'clock.
58 degrees in Denver under mostly clear skies. I'm Lee Frank with KNRC News. Another fatal shooting being investigated in the Washington area, this one in Manassas, Virginia. It happened last night. Details from correspondent Thelma LeBrecht.
Federal, state, and local authorities here are searching for any piece of evidence that would provide any clue about the killer of Dean Myers of Gaithersburg, Maryland. And so far, there's no evidence linking this crime to the serial killings of the Washington, D.C. area. Prince William Police Sergeant Kim Chin says witnesses did provide a description of a vehicle leaving the scene.
It's a minivan, but instead of windows being around the back side and sides of the van behind the driver's compartment, it's solid. So it's all white except for windows in the front. She says local and federal authorities are working nonstop to get more information. Thelma LeBrecht, Woodbridge, Virginia.
Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle this morning announces he supports President Bush on the Iraq War resolution. The president appears to be pleased with the debate as it heads for a vote in the House. We go now to correspondent Mark Smith.
Press Secretary Ari Fleischer reports the president's been keeping close tabs on the debate and thinks that in it the House has served the country well. Fleischer says Bush appreciates the leaders of both parties who've backed him in the debate, but respects the opinions of those who've disagreed. White House vote counters say they expect a large bipartisan margin in favor of authorizing the president to use military action if Saddam Hussein doesn't disarm. And that, says Fleischer, will send a message of seriousness to Iraq and the world that America is prepared to enforce its demands. Mark Smith at the White House.
There's been another suicide bombing in Israel, this one killing an elderly woman at a bus stop near Tel Aviv. Four others were injured. In the West Bank, Israeli troops spent the night rounding up dozens of Palestinians in a search for terror suspects. Nearly half of Colorado's home phone numbers are now on the no-call list for telemarketers. If you've signed up and still get an annoying call from a telemarketing company, other than a nonprofit group or a political organization, they could be fined and you could collect thousands of dollars. A former Colorado State Trooper convicted of sexual assault is sentenced to 2 years of work release, 20 years probation, and mandatory therapy. KNRC's Mark Roberts reports.
Judge Leland Anderson described veteran State Patrolman Gary Bourne as a man who went from a symbol of authority to a community outcast. Bourne admitted that he sexually assaulted an 8-year-old girl he was related to. At Bourne's sentencing hearing, the girl read from a letter where she said, "I hate you for what you did. I trusted you." The father of the victim asked the court to impose a sentence of probation, but told a sobbing Bourne, "How dare you touch my daughter the way you did?" Besides 20 years of probation and 2 years work release, Bourne's sentence includes no contact with anyone 18 or younger. He must have no contact with the victim or her family and must never come back to the city of Golden. Mark Roberts, KNRC News.
Foreign students at the Auraria campus in Denver are going to be forced to be tested for tuberculosis. Nearly 5,000 international students will be required to have the no-charge test done before being allowed to enroll for fall classes. The director of the Auraria Health Center expects maybe 6 students will test positive for TB. Jefferson County schools are making some big budget cuts. KNRC reporter Stacey Farb has that story.
The Jeffco School District needs to cut $3.5 million from its $560 million budget to make ends meet. Percentage-wise, that's small, but from an employee perspective, it's not. The district will leave 30 positions unfilled. It will slash nearly $800,000 from the intervention services budget. The district also plans to impose a hiring freeze on permanent staff. The latest cuts are a result of lower CSAP scores. Students' performance is tied to property tax funds, which are then distributed if the students meet the goals set by the district's performance promise. Next year, the district will need to cut $20 million from its budget because of a declining tax revenue, increasing employee benefit costs, and dwindling enrollment. Stacey Farb, KNRC News.
The first step in an outer space construction project has been completed. Astronauts have attached a new 14-ton girder to the International Space Station. KNRC News Time 904. Traffic in the exclusive Weather Channel forecast next.
Imagine bossa nova dance rhythms in chili-laden, mango-infused aromas through a palm tree-accented dining room and a serpentine bar. Imagine no longer. Your dining dreams have come true. Introducing the Samba Room, downtown Denver's Cuban bar and Latin cafe. Evoking memories of a 1960s jet-set Rio de Janeiro getaway, the Samba Room revives the lost rhythms of Cuban, Brazilian, Peruvian, Argentine, and Caribbean style in an upscale white linen cafe. The Samba Room is located at the corner of 15th 14th and Larimer Street in downtown Denver, and is open from 11 to 4 daily for lunch and features the best chim chim and Cuban pressed muffaletta, among other delicious lunch items. For your entertaining needs, let the Samba Room accommodate your private parties of 20 to 200 guests. Call the Samba Room at 720-956-1701 and make your plans for the best tasting South American food this side of the border. The Samba Room at 15th and Larimer Street. Call and make your reservations today for lunch and dinner. Call 720-956-1701.
KNRC News Time, 5 past 9. Let's go to Jackie Selby in the KNRC Traffic Center.
There's still a bit of a delay on westbound I-70 approaching Kipling because of an accident that's been moved off to the right shoulder. And eastbound Boulder Turnpike, so inbound on the Boulder Turnpike at Federal, an accident off onto the left shoulder. And there's still a bit of a bunch up as you're coming out of the DTC into the downtown area. Please allow 25 minutes for that drive. KNRC Traffic brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone, if it's been 3,000 miles since you changed your oil, then you need to do it now. Protect your engine and get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Jackie Selby in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm meteorologist Bill Limmer with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Warm today, tomorrow, then windy and much colder Friday night, early Saturday. Plenty of sunshine today, a taste of late summer on the 10th of October, near 80. A few clouds overnight, 40. Partly cloudy, still making upper 70s tomorrow, but quite windy late in the day. And then we'll drop all the way to 30s Friday night, only to recover to 50 to 55 Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Bill Limmer on AM 1510 KNRC.
58 degrees in Denver, KNRC News Time 908. I'm Lee Franker. Next update at 9:35 or when news breaks on AM 1510 KNRC.
And now, the Greg Dobbs Morning Show continues on AM 1510 KNRC, where Greg Dobbs talks about news and debates the issues every weekday morning from 6 to 10, plus news from Lee Frank, sports from Tony Desiri, traffic from Jackie Selby, the exclusive Weather Channel forecast, and business news from CBS Market Watch. It's coverage you can count on from AM 1510 KNRC. Here again, Greg Dobbs.
How are you doing? Good morning for the fourth time today. It's 9:07 on AM 1510 KNRC. Four men sit here in the studio this morning. Two of them are with the American Indian Movement, and two of them are with the Sons of Italy. And I think until a few years ago, at least, nobody would have known why they would be sitting in the same room to debate the issue of Columbus Day. In fact, for many of us over and above a certain age, there once was no issue with Columbus Day. It was Columbus Day. Christopher Columbus was the man who had discovered America. He was considered a great hero, and there was nary a word of dissent. But in more recent years, younger people are raised to learn not only that Columbus discovered America, but also that when he discovered America, he oppressed the Native American people. That is all subject to debate and dispute, and that's why I've invited them all four here. Columbus Day itself, the official holiday, is the day after tomorrow, October 12th. Sometimes it falls during the week, but it happens to fall this particular year on a Saturday, and there will be a Columbus Day parade, as there has been most years, for many years, put on, I think, by the Sons of Italy, New Generation Lodge. This year, there will be a Columbus Day parade in the afternoon, but because of the city lottery for parade permits, there will also be a parade on Columbus Day in the morning, but it will not be to honor Christopher Columbus. So we have here in the studio four men. Three of them are going to speak. On the one side is Glenn Morris, who is with the American Indian Movement and is a longtime advocate for a new awareness, as he would put it, I suppose, of Christopher Columbus. On the other side, two men, George Vendegna, who is the organizer of the Italian-American Columbus Day Parade this year, and Tom Romola, who is the, what are you, the president?
New Generation.
President of the New Generation. Tony, I got to say, I think we're on all the microphones here, okay? He's the president of the New Generation Sons of Italy. So welcome to all of you, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Greg.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yesterday, an editorial in the Denver Post said, "A sure way to tell it's autumn in Denver. The controversy over the Columbus Day Parade is with us again." This issue of Westward that just came out last night has an article entitled "Columbus Day Forecast Stormy." Let me ask you first, not to stir up problems, but do we expect Columbus Day, the day after tomorrow, with two parades, conflicting points of view, to be stormy? Glenn Morris, we'll start with you from the American Indian Movement.
What the American Indian Movement and the Transform Columbus Day Alliance intend with the All Nations Four Directions March for Saturday morning is to send a message to the city of Denver, to the people of Colorado, and the people of the United States that cultural celebrations need not be acrimonious, need not be conflictual, can be mutually respectful and not hateful, which the American Indian Movement has consistently said celebrations and venerations of Columbus are. And so on Saturday morning, we hope to bring thousands of people together in the largest multicultural, multiracial celebration of what the entire Americas mean and represent in the Four Directions March.
Mightn't there, in fact, be a difference between Christopher Columbus, in your view, and the view of some now in history, having been acrimonious and hateful, and the celebration of Columbus Day by the Sons of Italy being acrimonious and hateful?
I'm not sure I understand
question. Well, I think you just said that the celebration by the Sons of Italy, by the Italian-American community, is acrimonious and hateful, since they are honoring Christopher Columbus.
I don't think that there's much dispute about the historical record of Columbus. Certainly, we often get labeled historical revisionists, but much of the history that we rely on in recounting the history of Columbus and his personal acts come from contemporaneous accounts, in particular from a Dominican priest, Bartolome de las Casas, who was there, who was in the Caribbean, and who says that on the island of Hispaniola itself, under Columbus's governorship, 3 million people died. And so that's not historical revision. Las Casas was the first European historian in the Americas. That's the benchmark. Everything after that is revision.
Okay, let's turn to Tom Romola and George Vandegna, both from Sons of Italy. George is the parade organizer. Glenn just said there's no dispute about that account of history. Do you agree?
Well, first of all, let me make something clear to Mr. Morris. We're exercising our First Amendment right as Americans first. This is America. We have the right to gather, and we have freedom of speech. And no one can take that right from us. And that's, you know, that's what we're celebrating, our heritage and our First Amendment rights. So just by having a parade, we're exercising our right.
Okay, but as to the question, was Christopher Columbus a good man or a bad man? What's your version?
Greg, there's a lot of debate there. Most historians say that he was a good man. There are facts and fictions surrounding Columbus, and we have to remember that this was history that was written 510 years ago. There were not camcorders, there was not videotapes, there were not reporters, there was not CNN. The things that were done all through history back then were sketchy at best. We all know that. Most accounts of Columbus do not portray him as a slave trader. In fact, he did not own slaves. They do not portray him as committing genocide. In fact, some of his crew that was left behind from one of his four voyages were slaughtered and eaten by these same Indians called the Canibs, and that's where the name cannibal came from. There are many conflicting reports, but the point is, we're not celebrating Columbus as a butcher, or Columbus as if he committed genocide, or all of these things. We're celebrating Columbus the navigator. We're celebrating the discovery of America, Western civilization coming to America. That's what we're celebrating. If you look at the pamphlets that our opposition is posting all over town, they're not anti-Columbus. They appear to be anti-colonization. That's right on their pamphlets. We've seen them. We've seen them posted all over North Denver. They say come down and protest the colonization of America. And in my opinion, that means our opposition dislikes everybody in America, not Columbus, not Italians. Everybody that set foot in America is who they apparently opposed. It's
Glenn
right
Morris,
on their poster.
That's a logical extension of what you're saying.
First of all, we need to separate fallacy from historical fact here. The preeminent apologist biographer of Christopher Columbus was Samuel Eliot Morison. In his book, Admiral of the Ocean Sea, Morison wrote the following. For 9 or 10 months, from May 1495 to February or March 1496, the Columbus brothers were mainly occupied in subduing the island. Las Casas had access to reports from the admiral to the sovereigns, which have since been lost and which frankly reveal his methods. Morison goes on to explain that Columbus personally set about subduing, slaughtering, and enslaving Indians. We didn't say he was a slaveholder. We said he was a slave trader, both in African slaves, before he came to the Americas, and in Indian slaves once he got. And even the Sons of Italy own propaganda from their national website admits the fact.
But Tom Romola just made a point. He said, we're not celebrating Columbus's misdeeds, we're celebrating his deeds. That he was a great navigator, that he took a chance others weren't willing to take, that perhaps he proved the world wasn't flat.
No, first of all, that was a myth. Everyone knew, every navigator.
Astronomers knew.
Every navigator worth his salt in 1492 knew the world wasn't flat.
Well, Christopher Columbus
comes from.
I think it goes without saying. Christopher Columbus was a courageous navigator, and it was in part, at least, because of his achievements that this country is here today.
Well,
would you accept that?
Well, Greg,
would you accept that?
No. Columbus never even came to North America. Why is there a celebration to Columbus in North America? He never set foot in North America, and so
he came across the ocean, and from those islands in the Caribbean. It was much easier task.
Well, so did Cortez. So did Pizarro. So did a lot of people. There are no national holidays to him. The reason that there is a national holiday to Columbus has nothing to do with honoring Italians. Nothing to do with honoring Italians.
Well, you've got two Italian Americans sitting in the studio who
disagree. Greg, we know the history of, we know the genesis of Columbus Day. And the genesis of Columbus Day emanates from the Columbian World's Fair in Chicago in 1893. And before 1893, there virtually were no celebrations of Columbus in the United States. Before 1792, there were no celebrations of Columbus in the United States.
Oh, we also didn't have Thanksgiving, to which you might also rightfully object, but we have it today.
That's right, Thanksgiving is a different holiday that celebrates a concept, a principle of giving thanks in community with one another. The veneration of an individual is always subject to historical recounts and historical revisitations. And that's what we're suggesting with Christopher Columbus, that Christopher Columbus, as a historical figure, does not warrant a national holiday.
Okay, let's turn to Tom Romola or George Vendegna, both from Sons of Italy, organizers of the Columbus Day Parade the day after tomorrow. What about that? Why not revisit history and examine this man of whom you have been proud and see whether, in fact, you can in fact choose another hero who more pridefully represents Italian heritage?
Greg, our feeling is this. As long as Columbus Day is a national holiday, and let's not forget that, this is a national holiday, as long as that is on the calendar, and as long as the United States of America says that this is a national holiday, we're going to celebrate Columbus Day. That is our day.
But that doesn't answer the question. If questions are raised, why not examine them and see if, in fact, the answers put forth by a Glenn Morris are accurate and maybe you no longer want to be so proud of Christopher Columbus?
Well, my problem with that is we're talking about something that happened 510 years ago. This was a way of life back then. This happened with Alexander the Great. This happened with Julius Caesar. This happened with the Egyptian Empire, the Byzantine Empire. When people were conquered, and I'm not saying Columbus conquered the Indians in the Caribbean, but when people were conquered, it was a way of life back then. They were made slaves. They were in many cases, murdered, persecuted. The American Indians were doing the same thing at the same time here. They were doing slave trades. They were attacking villages of opposite tribes. It was a way of life back then. We're talking about something that happened 510 years ago. It was a way of life. What I'd like to ask Mr. Morris and ask your listeners is, excuse me, how many people today still hate the Japanese and still hate the Germans for the atrocities that their governments did just 50 years ago?
It's a fair question, Glenn Morris.
There's not a national holiday. We're talking about a national holiday to Christopher Columbus. We can talk about the Aztecs. We can talk about Cortez. The fact remains that the national holiday is to Christopher Columbus, and I want to address that issue. For example, the Sons of Italy national website suggests, well, it's a national holiday, so therefore it's almost everyone's civic, patriotic duty to celebrate Columbus Day. Well, you know what, Greg? At one point in this country's history, it was federal law to segregate schools. It was the law of the land. Supported by Plessy versus Ferguson for 58 years. That was the law of the land. That was the national policy. And it was wrong. It was wrong then, and it's wrong now. And that's what we're saying about Columbus Day. That if we want to inculcate certain values into our children from the time that they can reason, One of those values is not that you can steal a hemisphere and get a national holiday for it. And that's what happened with the beginning of Columbus. Now, every single year...
But the argument that Tom Romola has made is that your account of history is debatable. That there are still many historical accounts that make him a saint and not a sinner, as you describe
it. I'm sorry, but that's just incorrect. I want to see those historical accounts. Other than comic books and other than small children's books, I want to see those accounts. Because every single historical account that's been written that I know of in the last 15 or 20 years acknowledges exactly what Samuel Eliot Morison, the preeminent biographer of Columbus, says. And Columbus and Morrison's final conclusion about that is he says, whoever thought up this ghastly system in the Caribbean, Columbus was responsible for it. That's a direct quote from Morrison. And so there's no debate that Columbus engaged in atrocious behavior.
Well, that's not true. Behavior. There is a debate. You've got two men sitting here across the table from you who say that that's one historical count. There are others don't describe anything
close to
what you are.
There are people who say the Holocaust didn't happen either. That doesn't make their accounts credible. There are people who say that blacks are genetically inferior to whites. That doesn't make their position credible.
Okay, let's come back and ask Tom Romola or George Vendegna about that, because it's a very strong point. Well, there are people who deny the Holocaust during World War II, but we all know it happened. There are still people who might deny that Christopher Columbus was a sinner as well, perhaps, as a saint, but that doesn't mean that the stories aren't logical, plausible, and true. So let's get into that after a traffic report. Right now it's 9:21 on AM 1510. KNRC. And we go now to Jackie Selby at the KNRC Traffic Center. Jackie.
Yes, they're still working on cleaning up an accident, crews that is, on eastbound 36 at Federal. That accident was on the left shoulder. They just recently moved it off onto the right shoulder. Still causing a heck of a backup, though, on eastbound 36. And they're putting the finishing touches on another accident westbound I-70 approaching Kipling. KNRC traffic is brought to you by AT&T Wireless. When your wireless phone can get you back on the road, that's M-Life. AT&T Wireless Mobile Assist Service can send you gas or fix a flat. Sign up now and get 2 months free. Call 1-800-IMAGINE. I'm Jackie Selby in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Denver's only locally owned and operated news and talk radio station, AM 1510, KNRC.
Kick off the holiday season with America's favorite concert, a holiday evening with the Boston Pops, live at the Pepsi Center. Join conductor Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops as they present the world's favorite holiday music, one night only, Saturday, November 30th. Tickets starting at just $15 are on sale at noon Saturday at the Pepsi Center box office, by phone at 303-830-TIXS, online at Ticketmaster.com, and at all Ticketmaster locations, including Foley's, Tower Records, Angelo's CDs and more, Warehouse Music, and select Rite Aids. And share the warmth this holiday season. For a limited time only, donate a used coat at any metro area dependable cleaners location and receive a $5 discount voucher for all individual Boston Pops tickets. One night only, Saturday, Thanksgiving weekend, the Boston Pops live at Pepsi Center. Tickets are on sale Saturday. Visit PepsiCenter.com for additional information today. A holiday evening with the Boston Pops, presented by Fidelity Investments.
Do you feel like you're on display in your own home? Hi, this is Martin Faith, owner of Scottish Stained Glass. The problem with glass entryways and bathroom windows is that they offer no privacy. People on the outside can see right in. By using leaded glass instead of curtains or blinds, you add the privacy and keep the light. Scottish Stained Glass designers will come to your home with a briefcase filled with glass samples and photographs to help you create custom designs to match the architectural style and decor of your home. You may already have seen our leaded glass at the Parade of Homes. Find out why more and more homeowners are looking to make a beautiful custom statement with leaded glass. For more information and a free in-home estimate, call 303-766-3811. Leaded glass side lights are surprisingly affordable, with prices starting at $150, including installation. That's Scottish Stained Glass, 303-766-3811. 303-766-3811.
Join AM 1510 KNRC at the Gothic Theatre on Friday, October 25th for the Dress for Success Costume Ball. Don your Halloween best and join us. Fabulous Vegas Showgirls and the Vinyl Vampires will be your hostesses, along with KNRC's afternoon haunt, Enid Goldstein. For more information, go to www.knrcradio.com and click on Events.
Laura Ingram, join me late nights from 11 till 2 here on AM 1510 KNRC. Now back to Greg Dobbs.
It's 9:25 on AM 1510 KNRC as we continue with Glenn Morris, who's on the Leadership Council of the American Indian Movement of Colorado. And they are going to stage a parade Saturday morning, which is known as the...
All Nations Four Directions.
The All Nations Four Directions March. Okay. And Saturday afternoon, I think kicking off at 2 o'clock, is the traditional Columbus Day Parade, sponsored by the Sons of Italy New Generation. When we last left our heroes, Glenn was pointing out that although you say, and I'm speaking now to George Vendegna and Tom Romolo, you say that not all historians agree with the worst accounts of Christopher Columbus and his behavior when he got to the New World. What Glenn said was, well, people deny the Holocaust during World War II as well, but it's obvious. And when you look back at the way in which people lived and the way, in fact, in which conquerors performed back in the 1400s and the 1500s, one might rightfully assume that Christopher Columbus did, in fact, subjugate the native peoples of the islands on which he did set foot. So why not admit that it's a possibility that Christopher Columbus was not a good man? That's really Glenn Morris's question.
Well, Greg, I have in front of me a list of 12 biographies, Columbus biographies, that say contrary to what Mr. Morris is saying.
Actually, they don't say that. I have that list.
Let Tom make his point. Let Tom make his point.
Well, they don't make, Mr. Morris, they don't make Columbus out to look like the butcher that you claim he was. I'm going to go back to the facts again in that this was a way of life back then, and you're trying to rewrite history that happened 510 years ago. Was Alexander the Great a good man? I don't know. He probably did some atrocious things. Was the Egyptian Empire bad? Probably. But it was history. It was a way of life. The Crusades were probably bad and wrong, but that's how the world lived those hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And you're not going to change the facts. You're not going to change history.
And what you want to change is, number one, the federal holiday. You want to eliminate it. And number two, I take it when we're talking about conflicting marches, and I think it's fair to say that they are conflicting marches the day after tomorrow, that it's not just that you want to hold your march, you're going to, you have a permit to, but that you don't want them to hold theirs. Is that right or wrong?
First of all, I want to...
Lean into the mic.
I want to dispel this fallacy masquerading as history. That's not the way things were.
Well, there was law. You've made that point.
No, I haven't. There was law in 1492 that prevented the kinds of things that Columbus did. In fact, Columbus was censured when he went back to Spain for enslaving Indians without the permission of Isabella.
Okay, but there was Thomas said he's got a fairly long list of biographies that I assume you say, Tom, deny that Columbus did the kinds of things you say he did do, well, oppression and genocide.
Greg, that's part of the problem, is that we have to, as Indian people, we don't mind teaching America our history because we know America doesn't ever learn our history. But we get tired of having to teach America its own history.
Who did Columbus sail for, Glenn?
He sailed for Isabella and Ferdinand.
For Spain. So did he do this himself? Was he by himself?
Yes, he did it himself.
All by himself?
No, not all by himself. His leadership.
Who did he sail for?
He was the governor.
Did he do it by himself? This is what you're trying to make this guy out to be. This guy sailed for Spain. Do we have any protests over the Spaniard holidays? Do we or don't we?
George,
we do not have any protests. We as Americans,
Greg, how come they get to interrupt me?
We as Americans have the right to honor whoever we like. Christopher Columbus did discover America. And if you guys have a problem with it, rectify it in every state and get it changed on the calendar. When it's changed on the calendar, then at that point, we'll honor whichever on the calendar. You can't do it in every state. You can't do it in every state. And you know you can't.
That's exactly the argument.
All this mumbo jumbo you guys talk. You can't do it in every state and it can't be done. And you're not going to do it in Colorado.
That's exactly the argument of the Klan in Alabama that said it's the law.
The Klan. You guys sound like the Klan trying to take away our rights.
It's the law. You know, George, there is a First Amendment right that swings both ways.
That's
that
right.
That swings both
and
ways.
And you're exercising yours at 10 o'clock and we're exercising ours at 2.
And you don't have the right to engage in racist behavior without counter speech.
And you don't have the right to do it either.
We're not, believe me.
Mr. Morris, if the big difference between your movement and ours is that there will not be, I promise you, there will be no Italians demonstrating or protesting your Four Corners March. On the contrary, we know what to expect on Saturday during our parade. We know what you're going to do to us, just like you did 2 years ago, which was nonsense.
But you There's know what they're going to do to you this year?
Oh, we have a pretty good idea, sure.
What is it you think they're going to do?
Well, I'm sure they're going to try and stop this parade. I'm sure that we're going to see some balloons filled with urine and balloons filled with red paint and the loudspeakers and chants and smoke and right on the sidewalks. We're not going to bother them. Why do they have to bother us?
In other words, interfere with the orderly process
Absolutely.
Of the parade. Glenn?
First of all, on the Sons of Italy website, there is this allegation that somehow we threw urine-filled balloons, and there's not one shred of evidence of that ever. That kind of defamation is
there's two arrests in Pueblo.
That's not in Denver. I don't know what happened.
It's Colorado. It doesn't matter what it is. It's still Colorado.
No.
We have the right to do what we have to do. We have the right to parade. You shouldn't try and block it, and you shouldn't.
Am I going to have the right to speak on this
show?
Yeah,
speak up. Go ahead.
What I'd like to know is if there are any plans of which you're aware, official or otherwise, to interfere with the right of the Sons of Italy to hold their parade.
The American Indian Movement has said every single year, and let me remind your listeners of this. The American Indian Movement, every year that there's been a parade, and unlike your suggestion at the outset of the show, this parade is not an age-old tradition in the city. It was resurrected in 1990. There was a parade in 1990 and 1991.
If I used age-old, I take it back, but it has become a tradition.
No, it hasn't become a tradition. There have been three parades. And so, and the point is that the American Indian Movement, every single year that there's been a planned parade, we are the ones that initiated the dialogue. We are the ones that went to the Justice Department or to the mayor's office or initiated it with the Federation of Italian American Organizations to say, can we find common ground? Can you have a celebration of Italian culture without venerating Columbus? That's all we ask. After 500 years, can you eliminate one word from your parade? Can you find it in your heart to eliminate one word from your parade?
Mr. Barsher.
And every single year, we are rejected. Every year. And in fact, in 2000, they signed an agreement to do so, and then broke their word. That's
what taking our rights from us. Susan. We had to prove it to the people that you people were trying to take our rights as Americans. That's why we signed that agreement.
Oh, that's
you
why
know
you
that.
Lied. That's
every,
why you lied in the
you
agreement.
Guys are trying to take our rights as Americans, and you can't do it. And I won't let you do it.
You know, no one's forced you to sign that agreement, George.
Oh,
yeah?
You were taking our rights from
no
us.
No one forced
And no one
you.
Could would believe it until we showed them on paper, and we showed them on paper, and you guys didn't know what to do about it.
Now who's the historical revisionist? There are dozens of people in that room who witnessed you sign that agreement of your own
Absolutely.
Volition.
And we made every one of those people sign on that paper, did we not? So we took it to the ALC, to the people, and showed them that you people violated our rights as American, and you did violate our rights as American, and you're trying to violate our rights as Americans on Saturday. And Glenn, it's not going to happen.
Well, but you don't know that they're going to. And I'm not sure, Glenn, you've answered the question.
Yeah.
Are you going to? Do you plan to interfere with their orderly parade?
What the American Indian Movement has said.
That's an easy yes or no.
What the American Indian Movement has said every year is that if there is a racist veneration of Columbus, there will be active, vocal, nonviolent opposition
to it. Is any veneration of Columbus racist?
Yes, in our mind it is.
And therefore, if the name Columbus is a part of their celebration, it's racist.
Well, we've sent George and the Sons of Italy New Generation a letter asking them politely to change the name.
I know, and they've decided not to, so I'm asking, do you define the parade by its very title, racist?
Yes.
This is a Columbus Day parade.
Yes, we do.
What gives us the right to change the national name?
So you're saying the entire national holiday is racist?
Yes, we are. You're absolutely right.
Now, why are you picking on Denver, Colorado instead of Washington, D.C.?
Because it's the birthplace of Columbus Day.
Mr. Morris, if that's the case, why in Reno, for example, which is surrounded by Indian reservations, do they have one of the largest Columbus Day celebrations in the country? And in fact, the Indians support it. Why in New York City do the Indians support the parade in New York City and sell trinkets and do their things on the sidewalk and eat saucy sandwiches and have a good time?
Why
is it just Denver, Colorado?
Tom, that's Reno. That's New York City. This is Denver. This is where the protest is being heard. Now, let me ask you guys a question. They have asked you to drop the one word, and obviously it's a key word, Columbus, from your parade and from your celebration and from your veneration. Since you are celebrating, by and large, Italian-American heritage, wouldn't that be reasonable common ground where all this could be put to rest if you would just drop that one word? Why not?
Because it's my American right to march under whose name I want.
It's your right.
That's right. And I'm going to exercise it.
Wouldn't it be a decent compromise to cool things off and keep everybody happy? You guys could still be happy, could you not?
Or if I asked you to change your last name, would you change it?
Your last name isn't Columbus, it's Vendegna.
But I'm just saying, I have the right to march under whoever I'd like, whether it be Christopher Columbus or Italian American Heritage Day. Change it on the calendar. Do it right. Go around to every state. Get it rectified in every state. Change it on the calendar. Take it to your people in Washington and get it changed, and we'll honor that.
And you know something? That's a good question to ask Glenn Morris in a couple of minutes. Why not go about it that way? Why not put everything to rest here until you've made your best effort to literally eliminate Columbus Day as a federal holiday? That coming up, we have Glenn Morris, on the Leadership Council of the American Indian Movement of Colorado, and Tom Romola and George Vendegna of the Sons of Italy, New Generation. I'm Greg Dobbs. It's the Greg Dobbs Morning Show on AM 1510 KNRC. It's 9:35. We're going to go to callers as well. Our number 303-297-1510. Right now, we go to Lee Frank in the KNRC newsroom. Lee.
Greg, a man who reportedly shot at a bail bondsman in Denver's Montbello area this morning is in custody. Police surrounded the house around 52nd and... Where was that? Oh, up... Where? Oh, yeah, 52nd and Sable. Neighbors were told to stay inside until that man who tried to get away was captured. Police in the Washington, D.C. suburbs are saying there's no hard evidence that the latest shooting is linked to a serial sniper. A man was shot to death last night at a gas station in Manassas, Virginia. Two men were seen driving away in a white minivan. Police Chief Charles Moose says this crime scene looks like the others.
Please give us time to continue to do the investigation, to gather the hard evidence. As your police agency, we're not really comfortable speculating. It doesn't make sense to do that. We want to know for sure.
Not counting this latest killing in the D.C. area, at least six shooting deaths have been linked to the unknown sniper, who's also blamed for wounding two people. Dock workers are back on the job at West Coast ports dealing with a backload of cargo that's piled up during a 10-day shutdown. The lockout of the workers has cost the U.S. economy as much as $2 billion a day. As you might notice, gas prices keep going up. Since last week, the average price of a gallon of gas increasing about 5 cents, now costing $1.50 a gallon in Colorado. For some reason, gas here is now about a nickel a gallon higher than the national average. KNRC News Time, 9:37. Traffic in the exclusive Weather Channel forecast coming up.
The Denver Nuggets 10-game package is on sale now, and it's your chance to see Mike twice and get the Lakers free. 10 games start at just $150. And this season, see Michael Jordan and the Washington Wizards twice at Pepsi Center and get the Lakers free. The Nuggets 10-game package features the biggest stars in the NBA. Come watch Marcus, Ryan, Juwan, and the rest of your Denver Nuggets take on Michael, Vince, Vlade, and Jason, and get Shaq and Kobe free. Choose from packages of weekday-only games, weekend-only games, or combinations. 10 games, $150. See Mike twice and get the Lakers free. Denver Nuggets 10-game packages are on sale now, but only at Pepsi Center. Call 303-405-1212. That's 303-405-1212. 10-game packages are available for a limited time only. Call today, 303-405-1212. 10 games, $150. See Mike twice and the Lakers free. Don't miss the excitement of live NBA action only at Pepsi Center with your Denver Nuggets.
KNRC News Time, 9:38. Let's go to Jackie Selby in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Out Aurora Way, an accident on North Quincy at E-470. No one's hurt in that one, luckily. I-25 way down south, though, on your way to the Colorado Springs at mile post 172. That's Lake Gulch Road. One lane is blocked southbound I-25 there. And a pretty serious-looking accident at Mexico and Colorado Boulevard affecting that northbound travel on I-25 to northbound Colorado Boulevard. KNRC Traffic brought to you by AutoZone. If it's been 3,000 miles since you changed your oil, then you need to do it now. Protect your engine and get to the AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Jackie Selby in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm meteorologist Bill Lummer with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Two warm ones today, tomorrow, before a big plunge later Friday night, leaving us with highs in the 50s here on Saturday. But approaching 80 today with a good deal of sunshine. A few clouds overnight, 40, partly cloudy, breezy, still upper 70s tomorrow before that cold front swings through here late in the day. For the Weather Channel, I'm Bill Lemmer on AM 1510 KNRC.
In Denver now, 59 degrees. KNRC News Time, 9:39. I'm Lee Frank. Our next update at 10 o'clock or when news breaks on AM 1510 KNRC.
Avalanche manage a tie with the Stars. Good morning, I'm Tony Desiri, KNRC Sports. Opening night of the regular season for the Colorado Avalanche ended in a one-all tie with the Dallas Stars last night at the Pepsi Center. Radim Verbata scored in the third period to give the Avs a tie with Dallas, who led 1-0 for most of the game. Both teams had power play opportunities in the overtime, but this one ends at a point apiece. Avs now off until Monday when they host the Boston Bruins. Major League Baseball playoffs had both series in action last night in the American League. The Anaheim Angels even their series with the Minnesota Twins with a 6-3 win. Angels got home runs from Darren Erstad and Brad Fulmer in the win. That series now moves to Anaheim. In Game 1 of the NLCS, the San Francisco Giants outslugged the St. Louis Cardinals 9-6. Benito Santiago with four RBIs in the game. The Colorado Rapids run in the playoffs is over. Last night, the Los Angeles Galaxy scored a goal in the 64th minute of the game, and that was all they needed, moving on to the championship with a 1-0 win over the Rapids. That's a look at sports. I'm Tony Desiri on AM 1510 KNRC.
This is John Tesh with a thought for you. Good food is like good music, right? You don't have to be a composer to appreciate the interweaving of tones and tempos that are the heart and soul of a great song. And you don't have to be a chef to enjoy the complexities of flavors and textures that come together to create wonderful dishes. In Denver, you can always count on that kind of experience at the Broker Restaurant. Where else but at the Broker will you begin every dinner with their legendary complimentary shrimp bowl? And where else but at the Broker will you savor wonderfully prepared dishes of seafood, duck, and veal, along with extraordinary steaks and prime ribs served in a luxurious wood-paneled dining room reminiscent of the great dining halls of Europe? Enjoy your favorite Broker restaurant downtown at the DTC, at I-70 in Peoria on the way to the airport, and when you're in Boulder, visit the Boulder Broker Inn Hotel. In Denver, romance has a name, and that name is The Broker.
Come in today and experience The Broker restaurants for the first time again. Thanks, Denver, for 30 great years.
KNRC Market Watch.
The markets are shrugging off lackluster retail sales in September and going positive this morning. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now up 2%. That's a rather robust 142 points at 74.28. The NASDAQ up almost 34 points at 11.48. That's a gain of almost 3%. In fact, in the big board right now, only five of the Dow 30 are negative. It's being led by 3M, up 2%, about $2.50. Yahoo racked up its strongest quarterly growth since the end of the dot-com boom, and its shares right now are up by 21%, better than $2. Microsoft up $1.25. Reuters says General Motors will up the ante in the auto incentives game. It says GM will allow customers to buy most of the General's vehicles with no money down and no payments for 60 days. The FCC is expected to announce at noon Eastern its opposition to the merger of EchoStar with Hughes Electronics. The two firms requested that decision be put on hold. They lost. I'm Ron Amadon from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-297-1510. We hear you. 303-297-1510. We're Denver Talks. 303-297-1510. KNRC.
It is 17 minutes before 10 o'clock on AM 1510 KNRC. Still in the studio here from the Sons of Italy, New Generation, Tom Romola, and the organizer of this Saturday afternoon's Columbus Day Parade, George Vendegna. And on the other side of the table, representing the Leadership Council of the American Indian Movement of Colorado, Glenn Morris. Right before we went to the newscast, Glenn, and then we're going to go to calls, but just a $64,000 question that came from the members of the Sons of Italy. Why don't you guys focus all your energy not on their parade, but on the federal holiday whose name you dislike, whose veneration of Christopher Columbus you dislike? Why not get rid of that as your primary goal?
Well, it assumes that we're not doing that, which is not correct. But with any movement, there are local strategies, there are regional strategies, and there are national strategies. And the local strategy began in Denver in 1989 in anticipation of the 500th anniversary of Columbus coming. And the American Indian Movement, with a number of our allies, said that what more appropriate place in the United States to begin this movement than in the birthplace of Columbus Day, because Colorado was the first state to designate Columbus Day a state holiday in 1907.
Following its designation as a federal holiday.
No. Columbus Day's only been a federal holiday since 1971.
Okay.
And so it's not like this ancient tradition.
I'm asking. Because,
right. It's not an ancient tradition that was proclaimed in 1787 with the adoption of the Constitution or something. It was proclaimed in 1971. It was actually signed in 1968. And it became effective in 1971.
So in brief, the answer is that you are dedicating some of your energy to the elimination of Columbus Day as a federal and state holiday.
What we're saying is that we want a transformation of Columbus Day. And the parade organizers have said consistently to us, we don't really care about Columbus. We want to celebrate Italian pride, Italian heritage. We say, great, that's wonderful. We'll come celebrate with you.
Who said that, Glenn?
It's been said to us consistently.
By who?
By who? You.
No, Glenn. No.
By
no.
you.
You will not. You will not make the listeners think that's the case. That's not the case. We celebrate Columbus Day.
Well, George, we have dozens of witnesses in the negotiations in 2000 where you and CM Mandracina said exactly that.
Not George Vendania.
That Columbus is not important. What's important is the celebration of Italian heritage, is what you said. And we've heard that consistently.
I think I told you that what's important is our American rights, because we're Americans first, and that's what you're trying to take from us.
No one has to tell us what it means to be Americans, George. We know what it means to be Americans.
Well, then give us our rights. Stop trying to take them.
Well,
if you know so much about it, then don't take our rights from us as Americans.
Well, quit playing the victim here.
We are the victims, and we're not more.
Yeah, we're the ones who lost 2 billion acres of our land, and you're the victim.
And that's not Columbus's fault.
It's
nobody's fault. That's the problem with this holiday. It's nobody's fault.
Greg, before we take some calls, can I get an answer to two questions I asked Mr. Morris earlier that he danced around and refuses to answer? The first question I asked you, Mr. Morris, is why do your pamphlets and your signs that you're posting all over Denver say, come down and protest the colonization of America?
Well, you know why? Because colonialism is a crime against humanity. The United Nations and international law says colonialism is a crime against humanity. Colonialism is a historical wrong. That's why there's a right to self-determination in the United Nations Charter. You get that? Colonialism is a historical anachronism.
Can it be argued, Glenn, that at the time of Columbus, it wasn't a crime against humanity, and therefore he was not aware of the crimes he was committing, if he was committing any at all.
No, we cannot say that. And I have the book right here, Franciscus de Victoria, one of the founders of modern international law, who wrote this book in 1542, who said that Europeans do not have the right to go and colonize other people simply because they're non-Christians. And that Indians in the Americas have the right to dominion over our territory, our property, and our governments and social systems.
So we have Bill in Longmont.
You've been waiting a long time. You've got questions for each.
Yeah, I do. First of all, wasn't Columbus's actual name Cristobal Colon, and isn't Colon the root word of colonization?
Cristobal Colon in Spanish was his name.
Yeah, and that is the root of the word colonization.
What's your point?
My question for the two, first of all, for Glenn, you said that this wasn't really celebrated before the 1892 Columbian Exposition. Didn't before then we have cities named Columbia and Columbus and a Columbia River?
Oh, sure. There were place names after Columbus, but if you go back and research the the history of the naming of Columbus, Ohio, you'll not find any reference to Christopher Columbus. And so,
what's it named after?
What's it named after?
Well, it may be named after Columbus, but they didn't venerate Columbus for that. Even in the historical record for the naming of the city, they didn't feel like Columbus, as a historical figure, merited that kind of recognition in their own community.
I don't see how naming a city after a person isn't veneration. Would it be part of your agenda then to get those towns to rename and to get CBS to stop being the Columbia Broadcasting System?
Excellent question.
I think that all over the United States, it's not an unhealthy act for a society to revisit its historical past and to decide what kind of a future it wants to extend to its succeeding generations.
I agree with you, and I don't see a willingness on the part of the Sons of Italy to revisit that. I see a desire to ignore the possibilities, to ignore some accounts of history.
All right. Now, for George and Tom, you say that it is your American right to parade and celebrate whoever you want to. I have German heritage, first generation on both sides. What if I were to contend as my American First Amendment right? Hey, yeah, Hitler killed 6 million Jews, but you know that was what was done at the time. He also lifted Germany out of the ashes of World War I. Can I have a parade based on the precedent that you're setting by contending that these are your rights? Can I have a parade in downtown Denver to celebrate Hitler?
Certainly, sure you can. That's your First Amendment right.
That is your First Amendment right, and it's anyone else's First Amendment right who opposes you to come out and tell you that Nazism is not welcome in this community.
Okay. That's Bill, thank you for the call. It is 9:50 on AM 1510 KNRC. Back to Jackie Selby again for the KNRC Traffic Center. I think. Jackie. All right, we'll go to something else, and maybe we'll hear the traffic.
Where passion and substance meet, AM 1510, KNRC.
Don't miss the all-new 132nd edition of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Roar!
Because this time, there's an added bonus. With your tickets to the circus, you can bring your kids to our animal open house an hour and a half before the show. They'll get right up close to exotic animals and get a great behind-the-scenes look at how they live.
What you doing, Billy?
I'm talking to the animals, Mom.
Don't miss the animal open house, where all of the amazing animals will be together. Elephants, tigers, alligators, and of course, your kids. The all-new 132nd edition of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, America's family tradition.
October 9th through 13th at Denver Coliseum, and October 16th through 20th at Pepsi Center. Tickets on sale now at the box offices, Ticketmaster and Ticketmaster.com, or call 303-830-TIXS.
Hey, Steve, I came out here as quick as I could when I heard there was a problem. What's Ted doing on that crane?
Well, right now he's doing the Macarena.
The Macarena?
You should have seen him here a few minutes earlier. He was doing the Cotton Eye Joe, and he's not bad at it, too, considering he's six stories up. Hey, the fire department has been trying to talk him down. Turns out Ted's been in and out of rehabs for about 10 years. Oh, there's the news crew. Smile, we're on television.
Did he just take off his shirt?
I guess he's working up a sweat from the dancing.
There go the pants.
Drug and alcohol usage in the workplace is no laughing matter, and results in costly problems to the employer. The figures are staggering. One-tenth of the American workplace is affected. Workers' compensation rates are five times greater than normal. Accident rates are three to four times the normal rate, and the list goes on. Compliance Solutions offers professional drug and alcohol screening services, including random UA screening, pre-employment screening, breath alcohol tests, and rapid screen. Don't become a statistic. Protect your company, employees, and clients with professional drug and alcohol screening services from Compliance Solutions. Call 303-209-0984.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Join the Greenwood Village Arts and Humanities Center for their new exhibit, Transforming a Tradition, Contemporary Chinese Landscape Painting. This exhibit will feature the art of Lin Rongxing and will run through October 31st. Admission is free. The Greenwood Village Arts and Humanities Center is located at 2349 East Orchard Road, just west of University. For hours of operation and more information, call 303-797-1779.
Hi, this is Enid Goldstein. Join me every weekday afternoon from 3 to 7 here on AM 1510 KNRC. Now, back to Greg Dobbs.
Okay, just a few minutes left in this hour with worthy advocates on both sides concerning the appropriateness of Columbus Day and a Columbus Day parade. Don in Denver, you're on AM 1510 KNRC. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
First thing I'd like to say, I'd like to commend Mr. Morris for taking this heroic stand, and I'd like to know where the march is at because I'd like to come down there and stand with you. I believe Christopher Columbus was a colonizer, a conquistador, and that the Indians that he met on the Caribbean islands showed him love, showed him how to cure diseases, how to grow food, how to take care of themselves. And what was the repayment for that? Diseases and murders and the acquisition of land that was not theirs. And so I like to stand with my Indian brothers on Saturday.
Don, let me ask you a quick question. A woman wrote a letter to the editor today to the Denver Post, and she said, well, look, Christopher Columbus never even set foot on the continent of North America. And so if anybody ought to be protesting, it might be the people on the island of Hispaniola. What about that? He never set foot on the mainland.
That's true. But as an oppressed people, the Native Americans that were on that island, if you go to Puerto Rico, Jamaica, Haiti, all of the islands that Columbus visits, you won't find almost any remnants that any Native American was ever there. Why? Because they were murdered off, enslaved. And with blacks coming to the island, we amalgamated with the Indians. That's why you have Puerto Ricans and Jamaicans and Haitians and Trinidadian people today.
Tom Romola, you're nodding negatively there.
Well, I'm amused that he said that the Indians expressed their love and friendship towards Columbus when they slaughtered half of the crew that he left behind and ate them. That's a funny way to show love.
Hey, you know something? If I was a Native American, knowing what I know about white people today and about the colonization of America, soon as they would have came to the port, all of them would have been slaughtered. Then you wouldn't have this problem that you have today.
Well, you wouldn't have the United States of America.
You sound real good.
Well, Greg, again, we talk about historical revisionism here. All the sons of Italy have to do is read Columbus's diary. He described the Indians as the most peaceable, gentle, loving people he had ever met in the world. Those are his words. Now, to talk about Don's point, though, and really, what is the legacy of Columbus? And that's what we're talking about. I mean, we can dispatch Columbus the man fairly quickly, but there's a Colombian legacy that lives in the United States today. The doctrine of discovery that Columbus brought in 1492 has been translated into federal law in the United States. Federal Indian law is constructed on a foundation around the doctrine of discovery. And it is that federal law that has dispossessed Indian people in this country of 2 billion acres of land and has allowed things like the Secretary of Interior, Gail Norton, who's under a civil contempt citation in federal court right now for losing $100 billion of our money.
But I think
that's the Colombian legacy.
The Italian men, American men across from you would say that's not Columbus's fault.
That's exactly. It's not, yeah. There's a direct thread from October 12, 14. I'm a legal scholar. I know. There's a direct legal thread from October 12, 1492 to right now.
Human beings have an inner feeling to discover, to explore. That's why we go into space. That's why we search the bottom of the oceans. Do you think that if Columbus had not discovered America 510 years ago, that you would still be living like you were 500 years ago? The American Indians didn't even have the wheel then. You know how long the wheel has been around? You did nothing. Your civilization did nothing for thousands of years.
Oh, my goodness.
You think you were just going to stay here and be isolated?
I'm not going to put it. That's bald-faced racism.
But you keep saying
bald-faced racism.
Keep saying this colonialism. You hate the French, you hate the English, you hate everyone who came to America and made this country what it is today, the great country that it is today. That's what your posters say, and that's what you're saying.
Gentlemen, anywhere else we'd continue, but that's a radio station with a newscast coming up in a couple of minutes. Very quickly, Glenn Morris, yours is the parade in the morning. Give us as brief a summary so people who want to attend know where to go.
All Nations Four Directions March starts in four locations at the Martin Luther King statue in City Park, at Four Winds American Survival Center at 5th Avenue in Bannock, at Escuela Tlatelolco at 29th and Federal, and at Mestizo Curtis Park at 31st and Curtis at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. All people are welcome.
Is there a website?
www.transformcolumbusday.org.
Transformcolumbusday.org. And George Vendegna, same from you.
Our parade starts, the staging starts at 11 o'clock, the parade, 12 o'clock. The parade starts at 2 o'clock. We're going to finish up at Rocky Mountain Park for all-day festivity with Italian sausage sandwiches. All Americans and are invited to this, all Italians, and we want to see everybody we can.
Any website for you?
What is our website?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, let me thank, with or without a website, George Vendegna and Tom Romola for coming in and debating the issue of Columbus Day.
Thank you.
And Glenn Morris from the Leadership Council of the American Indian Movement of Colorado for coming in and debating from the other point of view. Thank you to all of you. You are worthy advocates for your causes.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you to Kelly Vaughn and Tony Desiri for running the show today from the other side of the glass. News is coming up next. Tomorrow, of course, the state of Colorado. We go on the air at 6 and at 8 o'clock from 8 till 9:30, the state of Colorado. Number of this week's issues will be discussed once again by a roundtable of reporters. Ed Sardella will join me here. We'll also talk, by the way, about efforts to make smoking bans even more severe than they are.
Where Denver talks. AM 1510 KNRC Littleton, Denver. Bill O'Reilly is straight ahead. It's 10 o'clock.